You know, it's awesome that at times when you have a night of a study and you start out with worship, and then I start, for me personally, hearing certain songs and they just like fit right into my study and they have no idea what's going on, but then the Lord does, right? Amen. So it's just an awesome thing to know how the Lord's in control. My name's Ted, my wife Linda here, and just want to be thankful for being here and look into God's Word tonight and to see what He has for us. But I do want to start out saying one thing to you, and I really feel this is something that's needed for all of us, something that we all can use. But it's a very simple thing that I want to say to you. You know, not all of us have good weeks. A lot of times we have bad weeks, we have bad days, and it's just good to know the central thing of our life is what I want to tell you, and it's as powerful a couple of words, a few words could be, as it can be just as simple, but that is that Jesus loves you. He loves you. Jesus loves you. And I know we all need to hear that, don't we? We need to understand that. We need to know that He loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells us so. It's that simple. And we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only begotten Son to this earth to die for you and I. That's love. John 15 says, greater love is no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. That's the love He has for you. The book of Romans chapter 5 tells us that God commended His love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. You are the apple of His eye. And He loves you so very much. I never felt His love so much as one time many, many years ago. I was driving to work, and I had been going through a lot of things that week. You kind of probably can relate when trials come up to you and you have those times where you're just about ready to break. And I remember so distinctly driving in my small little car, going to work, and it was pouring rain, just pouring down. Of course, that had to be a long time ago, right? Because I don't remember last time we had rain. But anyway, it was pouring rain. It was a long time ago. And I started crying to the Lord. I was yelling, not in a mad way or an upset way, but screaming to the Lord, God, how am I going to get out of what I'm in? I'm going through this, I'm going through that. I need Your help, Lord. And I was crying to Him. And then all of a sudden, as clear as my voice, as I hear right now, I heard the Lord say to me in my heart, just one thing. He didn't stop and say, well, listen, the first thing you got to do is this, or you've got to take care of this problem first and then take care of that. He said this. He said, Ted, I love you. And it stopped me. It stopped me. And I had to pull over. And almost immediately I had a release. I had a peace. And I was able to go to work, and of course, things started to work out. But that's our Lord. He loves you. And so I wanted to tell you that starting out, because those are three of the most powerful words you'll ever hear. Amen? He loves you. Well, tonight I want to kind of zero in on a certain area and talk about something specific that we all, I'm sure, just about daily, we long for this. Each one of us desires it. Each one of us needs to have it. And when we have it, our life is changed for the better. And we are going to find out, as many of us know, that there's only one way to get it. And we sang about it tonight. Peace. God, fill us with your peace. I want to kind of look at that word and kind of surround it and look at different parts of peace and find out everything that the Lord has for us through the Word of God about what peace is and how it can come to us. Can it come to us? Can we have it on a consistent basis? Well, what is peace? It's quietness. It's rest. It's a sense of well-being. It's fulfillment. It's freedom. It's tranquility, which is calmness, serenity. A great example in the book of Isaiah describes peace like a river, a flowing river, gentle, tranquil. The last time, a couple times we were in Israel, a key word they use there is shalom, and that is peace. Peace to you. Shalom. Psalms 122:6 that says that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why don't we do that right now? Father, we want to lift up Jerusalem as you tell us in your word. We want to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But we know, Lord, that for peace to come, Jesus must come. So, Father, we pray your will be done, but we do pray for that peace in the name of Jesus. Amen. So let's look now at how we get this peace. How can we get this peace? Well, Romans 13:14 says that we put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, that's a compact verse right there, but that's right to the point, isn't it? You've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to know him. And you make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's a tall order, but that's what we need to do. Another way we can get this peace when we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our life is through discipline. Hebrews 12:11, mark this down. The Bible says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. We know that. You know, as a father, son, a mother, daughter, as we get instruction, as we have to deliver the instruction, or we got it when we were growing up, it was never fun. It was painful, wasn't it, to get that instruction, to get that discipline. But later on, the Lord says, coming from the Lord, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained to it. So having that training of the Lord, we have that righteous instruction, and we see that we get peace from the Lord. Peace comes to us through forgiveness. Amen? Through forgiveness. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. When we are set right by the Lord, when he makes us right, when we are right with him, when he is forgiving us, we have that peace. Amen? That's how we get that peace. We can get it through forgiveness. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. That is awesome. I want to read to you this daily bread that kind of fits in to all this. It's called Peace in the Storm. Life can seem unbearable at times. Physical pain, difficult decisions, financial hardships, the death of a loved one, or sheltered dreams threaten to engulf us. Plagued by doubts, we may even find a difficult time to pray. Those of us who know the Lord through personal faith in Christ have in him a calm retreat in the storms of life, even while the howling winds of trial are sweeping over us. We can experience peace of mind and calmness of spirit. Richard Fuller, a 19th century minister, told of an old seaman who said, "In fierce storms, we must put the ship in a certain position and keep her there," said Fuller. This, Christian, is what you must do. You must put your soul in one position and keep it there. You must stay upon the Lord, and come what may. Winds, waves, cross seas, thunder, lightning, frowning rocks, roaring breakers. No matter what, you must hold fast your confidence in God's faithfulness and His everlasting love in Christ Jesus. Do you feel overwhelmed by troubles? Learn a lesson from that old sailor. Fix your mind on the Lord. Ask for His help. Then trust Him to give you peace in your storm. Amen? Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding, as He promised, perfect peace and rest. How true that is, and how awesome that is. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 10, if you would. Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to look at a certain question I want to ask all of you, and you kind of ponder over this. And we're going to read what the Lord says about this. But does peace is something we know that Jesus brings to the earth, but does He bring it to all? Does He leave His peace with all? Let's see what He says about this. In Matthew 10, verse 34. Jesus says, "Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Interesting verse, isn't it? Verse 35, "For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." 37, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." I think what Jesus is saying here is that it's very prevalent in our world, as world goes on, as we see today, that there is a division in this world. There's a separation, isn't there? In this whole world, there is trouble. In our country, there is a division. In our government, you can see a division. In our state, in our city, in our homes, there can be a division. There can be a separation. And that's troubling. It's very troubling. Those that know the Lord and those that don't, there's issues. You all know what I'm talking about. Somewhere along the line, whether it's family or friends or someone at work, there's that division. And Jesus is saying, "I don't bring peace to all. I put a sword there." But the bottom line is verse 39, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." You're on the side of the Lord or you're not. And that's what causes division. There's a separation. I think a main issue here is a problem with confusion. Good and evil. The Lord has His agenda and Satan, the devil, has his. And there's much confusion, and many people are down that road right now, as we know, on the dark side. Revelation 12 tells us that Satan, the devil, is the deceiver of the whole world. Revelation 12. John chapter 8, Jesus tells us that Satan is a liar and he is the father of it. So you can see where confusion comes, because there are so many and many to come and many in the past that have followed the lies. But Jesus stands on the truth, amen? He stands on the truth, and that's the separation. And there's no peace for the people on the dark side. There just isn't. And we'll see more of that in the scripture. This verse here, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." So we have to be careful of those wolves in sheep's clothing, because it can get very confusing, can it? But it all starts there, I think. And then there's sides chosen, and then you go your way. But we see the side of God, and we see where God stands through the scriptures. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Looking at verse 22. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Verse 25. "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance of all things that I said to you." Verse 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So the Lord brings peace, but to those that follow him. And we can have that peace of mind, can't we? We can have that blessed assurance, knowing that we can have that peace. The bottom line is no one will ever know peace unless you know Jesus. Amen? You know that bumper sticker, you've seen it. K-N-O-W, know Jesus, you know peace. But N-O, know Jesus, know peace. How true it is. But Jesus is our peace. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, for unto us a child is given. His wonderful counselor, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Scripture upon scripture confirms. But then again, we must be very careful. Let's turn over now to Romans chapter 8. It's good to see Scripture always confirming Scripture here. Romans chapter 8. We're starting in verse 5. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation, but watch the flow in yours. Romans 8, 5 through 7. "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will." That's pretty clear, isn't it? Again, if we're on the wrong side, there's hostility. But we're on when we follow the Holy Spirit as He teaches us and allow the Holy Spirit to control our lives, there's life and there's peace. And that's just beautiful to have. Following along these lines, you know, when you think about peace, we have peace usually from what? Fear. You know, we have fear. We've all experienced fear in our lives, some more than others. It can be a constant thing. So I want to look at the fear factor, so to speak, to kind of understand that. Turn over to 1 John chapter 1, if you would, with me. You know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, in his first inaugural address, which was during the Depression, said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." I wasn't old enough to hear that, but I know that's what he said. I think there's truth to that. You know, here comes on some heavy things for the country. And how many times have you, how many times have I had a trial come upon us? And it hasn't even happened yet, but we have that fear, don't we? We have that fear. And so we have fear of that fear. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. There's a truth to that. We have to be careful of that. But 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. So we see that the fear does not come from God. So if you're following God, understand that. Fear does not come from God. How do we get into this fear? How do we get away from peace? Look at 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 6. 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Understand that. But verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Look at 1 John chapter 4. And here's the beautiful thing. 1 John chapter 4. Looking at verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to fear. Look at verse 18, same chapter. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. The Amplified Version says that fear brings the thought, even the thought of punishment, the torment. Again, that's what we're talking about here. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We get fear when we take our eyes off Jesus. Amen? That's when we have the fear. If we're in the Lord and we take our eyes off Him, we say we have fellowship with Him, and we don't, we're walking in darkness, fear will come. Fear will come. Jesus took all the punishment so we didn't have to fear. You don't have to fear. I'm emphasizing this because I know how strong fear can be. and it comes upon us. I don't know if you can see this, but I have a nail here. Besides the material, which is iron, this is to be a replica of the nail that was hammered into our Lord. It was hammered into our Lord because He allowed it so we could be saved, so we could be set free, so we could be released from fear. Amen? 1 Corinthians tells us that you and I were bought with a price, the most expensive price that could be paid. So you don't have to have fear. 1 Timothy tells us that Jesus gave Himself a ransom for all. He took all the nails. He died on that cross to purchase the freedom for you and I, so we don't have to have fear. Ephesians chapter 1:7 says, it's in Him, in Jesus, whom we have redemption through His blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Grace, God, riches at Christ's expense. You don't have to fear. Perfect love casts out fear. But that's our Lord, amen? You don't have to fear. There's nothing to fear when you're in God. Drive that home. Understand that. There are different types of peace. When we talk about peace, as we look at this area of peace, there's world peace. We see that the world always wants peace. We're always hearing, we're trying to get world peace, aren't we? Well, those of you that know the Lord, we know that there's only one way to get peace, and it's just not going to happen till the Prince of Peace comes back. Amen? But the Bible says that peace will cover all the land, but only when the Prince of Peace comes back. But there's that world peace that everybody's striving for, but remember all that division out there. There's having a peace of mind, keeping the peace. We see that all the time. We want to keep the peace. We want to have a peace of mind. We want to have that tranquility, that calmness that we talk about what peace is. Romans 14:19 says that therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. So the Bible tells us that to have that peace, we should edify one another, that we get peace from one another, and how important that is. John 14:27, and I just quoted it, it's perfect for that tranquil calmness that Jesus tells us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These are scriptures that we need to turn to when we have that fear, because it'll take it away, because we see what the truth is. We know what the truth is, and it's through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You want the truth? He is the truth. So that's awesome to know. And then there's that peace that passes all understanding. In Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at that in a few minutes. But that's a special peace. A peace that we can have. But it's a peace that we get through those heavy trials that we have in life. Maybe you've never experienced real heavy trials. Well, the closer you get to the Lord, you're going to find heavier trials. But that's a special peace, the peace that passes all understanding. More about peace. Peace comes to us when we walk in obedience. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. These scriptures are just beautiful for us because it really covers everything we need to have to strengthen us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. Colossians 1, verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood on the cross. And you were once alienated and enemies have in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight." Verse 23, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became minister." So, if you stay and continue in the faith, you have that peace. And that's the obedience. That's the discipline that we have to have that peace. You know, when the Lord does something for us, there's always benefits, always. If you look at, I'm going to quote to you Galatians, you can write that down, chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, we see that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So God gives us that fruit. And peace is part of that fruit. Is peace something that we need? We need to have it. And we can get it. And we can have it on a consistent basis. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. Romans 15, 13, let me quote that to you. Benefit, may the God of hope fill you with all joy. You have joy when you have peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So the power of the Holy Spirit gives you that joy and that peace. You know, when you have that peace, you get that joy, don't you? And what a beautiful thing that is to have. And with that peace from the Lord comes a beautiful thing called rest. We can rest in His peace. Let me quote this to you. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. As Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." They're such true words, but so hard for us, aren't they? At times, they're just so hard for us to lay our burdens down, to give them to the Lord. We think we can take care of things. But you know, when we're trying to take care of those heavy things in our life and we don't give them to the Lord, we don't ask the Lord to take them off, we don't get that rest. Just give them to me. I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You will find rest for your souls. To lay down those burdens. You've got to do that. We have to do it on a consistent basis. Because the principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness are right there to take it from us. The Lord is there to help you through what you're going through, and at the same time, He gives you that peace. And that's a beautiful thing. Turn with me to this last scripture in Philippians that I mentioned earlier, chapter 4. And this is just some very beautiful scripture. Philippians chapter 4, looking at verse 6 and 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but read along with me. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He has done. And if you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. And there's that peace that passes all understanding. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I've had that verse, a couple of verses clipped out and in my office for years, because it's something we face time and time again. New King James says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So, the Bible's telling us, as we've learned all through tonight, where our peace comes from. Who paid for that? So why are you anxious? Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Easier said than done. Not to the Lord. He's trying to get us through this day to day. Nothing. That's the most exclusive word in the dictionary. Nothing is nothing. Whatever you can come up with right now, you're not supposed to worry about it. You've got to drive this home. Nothing. No fear. Don't be anxious for nothing. Where does the anxiousness come from? Not coming from God. You're in God. It's all process. We have nothing to fear. You really don't. There's the encouragement. But He helps us out. Don't be anxious, but in everything, everything you can think of, pray about it with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. So you've got at one hand, be anxious for nothing, and you pray about everything. Everything. That has to be your walk in life. No matter where you are, you can pray. You can shoot up those air prayers. God says, Jesus says His house is a house of prayer. I was praying earlier that the Lord is praying for us. He lives to make intercession for us. We pray about everything. You see where the scriptures are coming from? They're not just words, they're fact. Go to them daily, and you'll see. The fear comes, don't worry about it. You're in the Lord. We saw the process. If you're fellowshipping with Him, you're in the light. Don't worry about it. If you're doing the right thing, you pray about it. Lord, here's this trial. I'm praying about it. I'm giving it to You. Watch Him work. Well, it may not turn out the way you want it to turn out. But all things, here comes again, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord are called according to His purpose. Those are extremes, aren't they? All things work together for good. For us, it sounds difficult, but the Lord is there for us. And no matter what you're going through, He'll get you through it if you let Him. Be anxious for nothing. Pray about everything. And give thanks. How important that is. To give thanks. No matter what you're going through, give thanks to the Lord. Thank Him. Praise Him. In our prayer that He teaches us, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. There's that Lord's Prayer for us. Right there, He's showing us we need to thank Him and praise Him. No matter what comes at you, you thank Him and praise Him. You pray to Him, you get peace. It is true. It's fact. It's right there. This is everything. Behold, I bring life eternal. The Bible tells us. His perfect love casts out all fear. And when these things come, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. That's that special peace I was talking about. There's a peace that passes all understanding. There are many of you here that know what I'm talking about. There are heavy things in life. There are people losing their homes. Their father dies, their mother, their brother. People get sick, they have chronic diseases. But I'm telling you, I see it time and time again because I've experienced it. When you have these trials, and the trials that my wife are going through, we're still going through them. We have a peace. Because God will give you that peace. Ask Him. There's the word. I've never seen peace displayed as when my wife lost her first husband, Bob. I love to talk about him. I just do. He was such a special man in my life, as my wife knows. He was dying of cancer. And my wife was convinced with her daughters that Bob would live. There was scripture that they held on to that Bob would see his children have children. Scripture of the Bible. So they were fixed on that. Well, it didn't happen. Her husband dies. But my wife made a transition. She's much stronger than I am. But I saw it. Because we have our friend here, Frankie Vaughn, who's got MS, and she's been going through that for a long time. She can tell you a lot of stories of what she's gone through. But in the midst, I bet you she tells you she gets that peace. That's a special peace that passes all understanding. And God will get you through it. But you got to go to Him. You got to. Back to the beginning. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the peace that we can get. And it will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Look at verse 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good of report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, Apostle Paul says, these do, and look at this, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen? How important that is. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Scripture is there for us. So there is peace for peace of mind. World peace will come one day. Peace in your heart. A tranquil peace. That peace that passes all understanding. And I just see the miracles happening right here in this church. You know, back to that peace of past understanding. I know a few people that have cancer in our church, but they'll tell you as they go through it, they have a peace. And what's the world do? I don't know. You think a bottle's going to give you peace? Going to a bar gives you peace? Don't go there. I don't know everybody here, but if you're going there, don't. Don't go there. You're headed to darkness. You're headed to a pit of hell. There's only one way. And you know you felt that peace. You can have it, and you can keep it, and it'll guard your heart and your mind. Amen? How important that is. Let's pray right now. Father, we thank you for just the lesson that we are learning here tonight about peace. And we see it can be a very heavy topic, but we can also see the price that you have paid. The price that you have paid for each one of us in this room to have that peace, to not have fear. You said in your word, and it happened, that it is finished. Lord, it is finished. So we could not fear, so we could have peace. Give us strength, Lord, to get through this, to understand that. Father, we desire you. We ask that you fill us, as we sang tonight, fill us with your peace. Quiet our minds, Lord. Thank you that we have that escape, that you give us a way out. No matter what we're going through, you give us that peace and the forgiveness. Oh, a whole nother world, Lord. Father, forgive them, you say, for we know not what we do. But we have to be fixed on you. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father. I do want to lift up people here tonight. As we kind of prayed earlier, Father, that there may be some that are going through tough times, that may have a chronic disease or illness, or has a family member that does, Lord. I pray they're lifting them up right now. I pray that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't. And we see when you know Jesus, peace is there. Thank God for that peace. Thank you, Lord, what you did for that peace. We praise you and we worship you. And we thank you, Father. Yeshua, Shia, our Lord. Amen. Let's stand. Jesus loves you, and there's no reason to fear, and there's peace for all of us. There's enough to go around until he comes back, and then hallelujah, it's going to be forever, amen? Now may the God of peace that brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete to do his will and make you well-pleasing in his sight. For of him and through him and to him are all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.